is go.
Pegasus is go.
PTC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Polycom.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Tuesday night edition of the show, 27th of July. Hello, Diane. How are you?
Okay. How are you, Craig?
I'm hot. It's hot in North Central Nebraska today. It's hot.
Okay.
So hot today, yep. I saw a squirrel boiling his nuts in the bird bath.
Oh, my God. Here it's hot because it's just hot at this time of the year, but it's really not bad.
Well, we hit triple digits today.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. And it's supposed to be 1 or 2 degrees hotter than that tomorrow. So.
Really?
Yeah, we're looking at a high tomorrow, they're saying. Now, it could change. This is Nebraska, after all, but they're saying it could be 102 here tomorrow. The good news is, by Saturday, it's going to be back down to a comfortable 87. So.
Oh, my God.
Well,
you've
I mean,
got crappy weather.
You know, it's good for Saturday because we're supposed to get a little rain maybe on Friday. Saturday night is our small town-wide picnic in the park.
Okay.
And it'll be much more pleasant out there at 87 than it would be at 102.
I would think so. Is it humid as well?
Oh, sure. Why wouldn't it be humid?
Well, you could be Phoenix, 102, and, you know, as everybody says, but it's dry heat.
It's a dry heat in my oven, but I don't sit in there to relax.
Ah, true. At least I hope you don't.
No. Yeah, it's humid. It's you know, it's more humid early in the morning than it is early in the evening, but right now the humidity is still up around 51-52%, so... It's a little
hot.
Yeah, it's a little stuffy outside. Let's put it that way.
I would think so.
A little stuffy. Little close. That's what a friend of mine used to say. It's close out there. So.
Well, all I know is you guys have terrible winters and hotter than Florida summers.
We have what we have is a variety of weather.
Yeah, you have crappy weather, admit it. And
it's a it's a variety of crappy weather.
Right.
I mean, there you go. Folks, we got a big show for you tonight. We got a couple of great segments that we have coming up for you. Diane, you're covering a mockery times two.
Yes.
Now,
of the many mockeries going on right now.
Is mockeries the correct plural or is it mockery?
It's anything Biden and the Democrats, let's put it that way.
Okay. All right. So you're going to cover that. I am covering purveyors of lies are not guardians of truth.
Okay.
So those two segments are coming up, folks. You don't want to miss those. But let's start with some quick hitters tonight. We got some doozies going on here. Apparently, jobless Americans down in your state of Florida, Diane, they're suing
Florida, for ordering an end to unemployment benefits that were tied to COVID.
Well, let's put it this way. It's 10 people, folks. Three lawyers for 10 people are suing our state because Governor DeSantis rightly cut off unemployment benefits, meaning everything that was put in place during COVID when people got paid basically to work from home. These 10 people don't want to go back out there and work.
10.
I don't feel sorry for them. They don't deserve anything. We have an overabundance of jobs here in Florida. And people aren't taking them because they make more money staying home, living off the government. Well, we're not having it here. We're tired of the COVID crap. We're tired of the sponges and the people with their hands out. Let them get off their butts, go and take some of the jobs that are more than plentiful here. Enough is enough. I support him 100%.
Okay, so we're going to put Diane down as an uncommitted on this topic.
Yes.
Not 100,000 people, not a million people, not 10,000 people, 10. 10.
With three attorneys.
I mean, this is about as sad and ridiculous as the liberal Marxist Party can be.
Yes. And well, you know, what people don't understand is they are talking about they want this $300. Now, that's on top of their regular state benefits and extended eligibilities. So they want even more than they're still getting.
Right. They want that extra $300 because that's what it's worth. $300 a week, folks. And all they have to do to get it is pick lint out of their own belly buttons.
I'm sick of these sponges. I'm sick of these people that expect we taxpayers to pay for them to be lazy bums, because that's what it boils down to. And DeSantis is standing strong and saying, nope.
Well, you know what? Our state did that a long time ago. We cut off that deal. And I know South Dakota cut it off. I know a lot of states said,
Florida,
you know what?
Florida was one of the first to cut it off.
Yeah. A lot of states said, you know what? Enough is enough. And, you know, people need to get back to work. Well, you know, this is part of what socialism, Marxism, communism looks like. You know, you're entitled to money for nothing.
For absolutely nothing. Exactly. And we're tired of it. We're tired of everything is blamed on COVID. A delivery's late, it's COVID. You can't have money, it's COVID. There's no toilet paper in a store, it's COVID. Everything is COVID, COVID, COVID. And you know what? Most Americans are sick and tired of it.
Well, you know what? Nobody has yet explained to me in anywhere near a satisfactory term why a year and a half ago people went and bought up all the toilet paper they could find because of a respiratory illness. I still don't understand that.
I don't understand any of it because I have been saying since day one, a vaccine was not what was needed. An antidote is what was needed. This was a bio-weaponized virus. The virus is real. It was bio-weaponized. And it was, whether it was accidentally released or deliberately released, it doesn't matter. It was released. Vaccine ain't stopping it. Today, I just found out from my best friend that some other friends of ours who were vaccinated twice, they got their two shots, they came down with COVID.
Mm-hmm. Go figure.
Yeah, no jab for me, folks.
I mean, that's just the way it is. Now, if I was a judge hearing this case of the 10 people with their three attorneys, I would, as a judge, I would ask them a very simple question. Why do you think you deserve an extra $300 a week? Why?
Well, if it's a Florida judge, one of our Republican judges, they've lost their case before they even start, because, you know, enough is enough. If it's one of the Democrat judges, oh, poor people, they can't live on their other benefits. They've done it for, you know, their whole lives without the $300, but now they need the $300? No.
Well, I mean, how can these people possibly answer that question? Why do you think you need the extra $300? I mean, what are they going to tell a judge? Because we're special? Well, you know what? There's Olympics and telethons that are held for people like you.
Exactly.
But outside of that, you're really not special.
Yeah. Yeah, this is ridiculous. I can bore people with statistics, but that's not what you want to hear. Really, we've got to stop this crap already. There are millions of jobs out there, not just in Florida, across the country, where employers who are just, you know, restarting their businesses after COVID, they're begging people to work. And
right.
People don't want to go to work because they're making more money sitting home and collecting basically a form of welfare.
That's
there is something innately wrong about this, but you got Biden and crew supporting this nonsense, you know, for votes. It's just got to end somewhere. And DeSantis said it's ending for us here.
Good for
These
him.
These 10 people are not going to win
no.
in any court down here.
No, they're not. You know, I mean, look, you can sue for anything, but, you know, these people don't have a case.
Mm-hmm. And what they're using is they're claiming it's his, meaning his and the state's statutory duty to provide unemployment benefits to these Florida residents. They're already getting unemployment benefits. They want the cherry on the cake, and in this case, it's a cherry worth $300 a week. Screw them.
That's what I say. Screw them.
Yeah.
From Florida, and there are 10 people with 3 attorneys, we go up to Chicago in the quick hitters, where Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who honestly is one of the ugliest men I've ever seen, is defending her No White Reporters racism, and she says she'd do it all again.
Yeah. Well, here it boils down to you have a black woman outwardly saying basically that she's a racist. Her actions have proved it. Her words have proved it. But it's okay. She can stay mayor. She's heralded as, you know, a hero. But God forbid a white person said that.
Oh, if a white person in any position, I don't care if it's a mayor or a dog
right.
catcher, okay, if a white person said, I'm not going to deal with black people or brown people or red people or yellow people or people with pink with purple polka dots, if they singled out and said, I will only deal with my own race, they'd be done. Gone.
Exactly. This woman is an overt racist. She admits it freely by her actions, her latest statements. In fact, one of her statements was, diversity and inclusion is imperative across the institutions, including media. In order to progress, we must change. This is exactly why I'm being intentional about prioritizing media requests from POC reporters on the occasion of the 2-year anniversary of my inauguration as mayor of this great city. Really? You've run the city into the ground. It's crime-ridden. It's dirty. It's filthy. But it's your 2-year anniversary as the racist mayor. Nice.
See, there's somebody else that thinks they're special.
Very special.
I mean, at best, she's a hobbit. Okay? And, you know, this whole idea that I'm black and I can say whatever I want, and if I don't want any white people at my press conferences, I as a black person, have that right. That is overtly.
I just thought of something interesting that a reporter with guts should do.
Yeah?
Okay. Go into the conference in blackface. You only wanted to deal with black reporters? I'm in blackface. Oh, you're a racist. You're a racist. I won't deal. You're white. You're a racist. What would the outcome be then?
Well, look, if, you know, given her stance, I'll tell you one person that ought to just go get a press credential in Chicago and start showing up at all of her press conferences.
Who?
Candace Owens. You know,
yeah,
you only want black people at your press conferences? Hold my beer.
But you know what? I don't think Candace Owens would play into her garbage.
You know what? I think she would, just to teach the woman a lesson. Mm-hmm. I really do. Candace, she's got a lot of balls. She would absolutely tear somebody like Lori Lightfoot apart. You know, I think she'd do it. I think she'd say, all right, so only black people get to ask you questions at a press conference. Well, I'll be your Huckleberry, you know, and walk right in there and start hammering away at Lori Lightfoot.
You know what? It's not going to happen. It's a great idea, but it's not going to happen because, remember, first, being white is the worst thing. Second, to women like her, or even men like her, being a black conservative is just as bad. Candace Owens would never get in the front door.
Well, I mean, what I would do is I would, you know, Candace Owens, Harris Faulkner, that'd be another one. You know, any black conservative reporter, start applying for press credentials in Chicago. And if the mayor's office won't give them to you, you got a case against them. I mean, play the game and beat them over the head with it. That's what I say.
Yeah. But you know, Craig, nothing is going to happen.
No, you're right. But I mean, seriously, if I was Candace Owens, I'd be applying for press credentials tonight.
It is a good idea. I really think it's a good idea, but they'd never let her in the front door.
No, because they're afraid of what she would ask. They're afraid of what she would say. They're afraid of the facts that she would present. I mean,
she's a black conservative, and that's a no-no in woke land.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. But it'd still be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd go pay-per-view to see that.
Mm-hmm.
I really would. Joe Biden was being asked questions by a reporter regarding Veterans Affairs. And apparently the Veterans Affairs has become the first federal office to mandate vaccinations. And a reporter asked a very simple question about that mandate in the Department of Veterans Affairs, and Biden snapped at the reporter.
Yeah, and called the reporter basically a pain in the neck.
Yeah, I mean, this was a simple, straightforward question. You know, basically, do you support the mask mandate from the Department of Veterans Affairs? I said, you know, you're such a pain in the neck, but I'll answer your question. What?
Yeah.
What? It's a legitimate question.
Of course it is. Of course it is. But he wanted to stay on his topic because that's what he was prepped for. He probably had an earbud in. That's probably, you know, all the answers he had. Biden cannot go off track. He has to stay on track.
Well, and that's almost impossible for him at this point anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he can't focus. That's pretty obvious. I mean, folks, if you've seen any of the clips from the CNN town hall, I don't expect, you know, hardly any of our listeners would watch a town hall either with Joe Biden or on CNN. But,
right,
you know, if you've seen any of the clips, because there's plenty of them out there, Biden couldn't even focus for 15 seconds on anything in that whole town hall. He was all over the place.
Because he wasn't prepped. Well, you know, everybody says that he has dementia, that he has Alzheimer's. But I'm going to give you another scenario, something Craig, you and I talked about. I think he is showing real signs of Lewy's body dementia.
Which is a form of dementia, but it's a very specific form of dementia. Yes. And you could be right.
Yeah, he fits all the medical descriptions of it. More than Alzheimer's per se, what most people don't know is Lewy's is the second biggest number-wise form of dementia after Alzheimer's. It's what killed Robin Williams.
Yeah.
He is showing those symptoms. I mean, you can Google it, guys. You can see them and you can check them off. And wow, this is Joe. This is Joe. He is, at this point, with his butt comments and some other things, this man is a danger to our country. Kamala Harris is as big a danger.
Yes.
You know, but in a different aspect. But he is a danger to this country. And the worst part of it is his family is allowing it to continue. Jill Biden is a horrible human being to allow her husband to be made a mockery of.
Well,
she's a disgrace.
It's so plainly evident. I mean, so plainly evident. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it just kind of is what it is. Now, could it be Lewy's body dementia? Yep. Could it be other forms of dementia? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, he's obviously not right, not even close to right.
No. And you know what tipped me off about the Lewy's? Lewy's body dementia is actually a type of Parkinson's disease. Most people don't know this,
right,
but it's a type
right.
of Parkinson's disease. If you notice how Biden walks in a shuffling gait,
I was just going to say that.
That's a symptom of Parkinson's. Yeah. And his symptoms, I'm sorry, it meets it to a T.
Yeah, I mean,
he should not be in office.
No. No, he should not. Finally, in the quick hitters tonight, we go to the newly restored Hubble telescope.
Yay.
And they pointed old Hubble.
Space geek time.
Yes, it is. It is space geek time. The Hubble telescope had been ailing for a while. They found a way to refresh it. And mm-hmm. one of the first things they pointed it at was Jupiter's moon Ganymede. Now, yes. early in the show, I said it was a little close here in north central Nebraska with the humidity. Well, apparently it's a little close on Ganymede because Diane de Hubble has discovered water vapor on Ganymede.
Yeah, actually, this particular water vapor forms when ice from the moon's surface sublimates, and basically it turns from solid into gas.
Now, this is very interesting because if you take the amount of water ice that is present on Ganymede, there is more water on that moon than there is in all the oceans of Earth.
Yes.
That's a lot of water.
Yeah. The problem is the temperatures there are so cold that the water on the surface is frozen solid. In fact, they're now saying that Ganymede's ocean would reside roughly 100 miles below the crust. Therefore, the water vapor would not represent the evaporation of this ocean. In other words, it's there. There is water there. If you have water, that is one of the main building blocks of life, folks. We're not talking Marvin the Martian or anything. Bacterial, virus, fungi, a lot of things could be alive on Ganymede.
And, you know, that is one of the places that NASA intends to do a little exploration.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is going to be very interesting because that is a far, far, far away place. I mean, look, it's orbiting Jupiter, for goodness sakes. And, you know, it's going to be, you know, if you think it takes time, you know, to hear back from the Mars rover, wait till we get to Ganymede.
I know. Well, hopefully by then they'll be able to get data a little bit faster. But this is very, I'm going to be really keeping an eye on this one for certain reasons.
Yeah. I know what they are.
I know somebody who's going to be, let's say, working on some of this stuff. And it's very interesting because, you know, they find one bacteria, one virus, folks. The thought that we're it. Get shot to hell.
Well, you know damn well they're going to get to Ganymede and find COVID.
That's a good one.
You know, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. But no, it's going to be very interesting because NASA and scientists are looking not only at Ganymede, but at Europa, other moons that are in our solar system. As places that have what looks like the necessary building blocks for some sort of life. And Mars is just one of those places. Now, does Mars have that now? Probably not. But back in its past, it's pretty obvious that it did. In fact, the little Mars Perseverance rover is now beginning its genuine scientific exploration.
Yeah. Don't totally discount Mars, though, because what a lot of people don't know is there is active volcanoes below the surface. There is water below the surface. There's also some chance that they can find some microbic life under the surface of Mars.
Well, and they could actually find fossilized microbic life on the surface. So, because I mean, where they are right now in that Jezero crater with Perseverance, that used to be a lake. So, you know, it's getting more interesting all the time. The little Ingenuity helicopter had its 10th flight the other day. It was only designed to fly 3 times. It's now flown 10 times. The total distance in those 10 flights that it's gone is 1 mile, and flight number 10, it reached its highest altitude of 40 feet. So that thing is autonomously working, it's scouting around, it's taking pictures, it's finding its own landing spots, and it just keeps going.
Yeah, it's amazing what we've done, what American exceptionality has done. And I cannot repeat this enough. You know, China's on Mars right now with their little rover. It's very important that we continue with the space program. He who controls space controls the world. I would hate it to be China, hate it to be Russia. It needs to be us.
I agree 100%. Well, those are the quick hitters tonight, folks. And like I said, we got 2 big segments coming up for you. A mockery times 2. That's what Diane's going to be talking about here in just a couple of minutes. And then in the final segment tonight, I'm talking about purveyors of lies are not guardians of truth. So stay with us, folks. There's plenty more to come on Right Side Patriots after this.
Your You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at The National Patriot, Diane Sori at The Patriot Factor, and if you miss any part of tonight's show, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, it's okay, because you can go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, hit the podcast button, and become one of the pod people.
Yes, and our pod people are proliferating by the month, by the week, really.
Yeah, they are. It's great.
Yes.
It's great. And, you know, we gotta hand it to Podbean. They master our podcast. They host our podcast, and we couldn't do it without them. So thank you, Podbean.
Yes.
All right, Diane. So you have decided to take on kind of a twofer, in a way, tonight, a mockery times two.
Yes, and let's start with this. This is a quote. At some level, the question of what speech should be acceptable and what is harmful needs to be defined by regulation. And that was said by none other than Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg back in 2019. Now, it's hard to believe that here in our beloved America, George Orwell's classic novel, 1984, has now truly come to life. Big Brother-style government censorship of the public discourse is no longer being hidden, what with Biden's press secretary, Jen Psaki, just a few short weeks ago, holding a presser and freely admitting that the flow of information on key social media sites is being censored for our own good. Censored, she said, because the White House does not want what they deem misinformation to be making the internet rounds. Misinformation of what is actually truth. Truth the White House knows does not and will not play well with their socialist Marxist agenda. Suppression of not only our First Amendment right to free speech, but suppression of our personal thoughts, it seems. And it's all in an effort to coerce adoption of the Biden administration's, or should I say the Obama administration's, anti-American policies. Inconvenient truths now appearing at an inconvenient time, a time when we the people are bearing witness to a steep rise in inflation, when illegals crossing our southern border are reaching record high numbers, a time when forensic audits are beginning to show that voter fraud did rule the 2020 election, and a time when the China virus sees an uptick in numbers, an uptick where the blame is being placed on those of us wise enough not to be jabbed, instead of where it rightfully belongs, as in the Chinese lab where said virus was created and then released from.
And dare we forget the administration suppressing of the truth regarding a certain someone in the administration, as in one Dr. Anthony Fauci, whose blood-stained hands are all over this China virus mess. So with Biden's administration actually having given itself the power to censor our words, know that the very act of censorship itself is the first step towards dictatorship. And while many social media sites, key of which is Facebook, are and have been working for years with the Democrats to censor our conservative voices, know that the concept of censorship, as per the First Amendment, clearly states that, quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances, end quote. In other words, Craig, the government is forbidden, amongst other things, from impinging on the free speech rights of both private entities and we the people. But this unfortunately means that a private entity, like Facebook, can legally on their own decide that someone is trying to pass along what they deem to be false or misinformation and then not to allow that individual the use of their platform to spread their thoughts or to access their platform's other users.
Well, and that's all well and fine, but when the government, i.e. the White House, gets involved in helping Facebook determine what is and is not going to be censored, suddenly it's not a private entity that is doing it. It is now the government that is involved in doing it. However, Facebook has something else working against them when it comes to being a quote-unquote private company, right?
Absolutely. But the question is, whether Facebook be a private or a public entity, it's important to remember that Facebook is traded on the New York Stock Exchange, which means their shares are open to the public for purchase. Therefore, they are bound to abide by the exchange's rules regarding censorship as well, which I believe they have not. And this also leads me to believe that Facebook is and has been practicing censorship at the bidding of the Biden administration, no matter that the administration now claims they are just, quote, suggesting that platforms like Facebook ban those who spread COVID-19 misinformation and are not actually, quote, demanding that said platforms do so, which surely would violate one's First Amendment rights. But the truth is that it's way more than just COVID-19 so-called misinformation that Facebook and other social media platforms are censoring. In fact, it's now anyone's words that do not promote the Democrat socialist agenda, as in words not supporting open borders, words not supporting BLM, reparations, or critical race theory, words not promoting the climate change nonsense, i.e. the weather folks, or words that are not anti-white, not pro-abortion, or words that do not believe there are 57 genders from which to choose. Even innocuous political viewpoints that don't march in lockstep with the socialist left sees Facebook fact checkers labeling said posts as misinformation and or extremism, and therefore again must be removed for our own good. And to Mark Zuckerberg in regards to his call for regulations on harmful speech, I say the last thing this country needs is you telling our lawmakers that what needs to be done is placing even more regulations on our constitutionally given right to free speech. And let's not forget that the blocking of opposing viewpoints is done with one having little to no recourse for review. In other words, social media sites like Facebook have already become their own little dictatorial kingdoms, deciding what is or is not acceptable speech, and are doing so for the Obama-controlled Biden administration as well. But again, the problem with this is that said little dictatorial kingdoms are going out over the very public internet highway.
And here is where a legal line might indeed have been crossed. And this is something that I believe must be looked into by those who know the intricacies of communication law. For I'm not sure if a private company like Facebook has the law on its side in regards to working with the Biden administration to help censor opposing viewpoints on what is and will remain a public internet venue. But, Craig, always remember that it's not up to the government to decide what is or is not truth, nor should social media platforms be determining right or wrong speech. And it's especially grievous when these two entities join together, as has now been admitted to, and use the public internet highway to basically make a mockery of we the people's First Amendment right to free speech.
Well, you're absolutely correct. And let me just put this out there, so because you talk about it, and I'm just going to put it in different words, okay? Mm-hmm. Make no mistake here, folks. Facebook is not conspiring with the Biden administration to censor free speech. They are conspiring with the Obama regime to censor free speech. Make sure you understand that. But, Diane, you promised a mockery times two. So is the other mockery afoot here?
Oh, yes, it is. Okay, another mockery that recently came to light saw the Biden administration inviting supposed UN experts on racism and human rights to visit the U.S. to observe, publicly confront the treatment of minorities in America, and then to, quote, help combat systemic racial injustice and inequality, especially against people of African descent in the context of law enforcement, end quote. So said U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's words. Those were his words, not mine. And what a joke this is, as said UN experts known as special rapporteurs are tasked with the job of recording back to the world body if issues are found regarding what's called, quote, contemporary forms of racism and minority issues. Appointed by members of the 47-member UN Human Rights Council, with today's 15 appointed special rapporteurs coming from the countries of Bolivia, China, Cote d'Ivoire, Cuba, France, Gabon, Malawi, Mexico, Nepal, Pakistan, the Russian Federation, Senegal, Ukraine, the United Kingdom, and Uzbekistan. Isn't it more than a bit disconcerting that these member nations include some of the most flagrant violators of human rights, as in, but not limited to, China, Cuba, Pakistan, and the Russian Federation? And besides, the United Nations, what I like to refer to as the useless nations, needs to butt out of America's business. Hear that, Biden? For racism in America today is, in my opinion, the result of but four things. First, it's the direct result of Barack Hussein Obama's deliberately stirring the pot of what was then a simmering down pot of racial discontentment, and done simply to push forward his plan to fundamentally change America from within. Second, racism was falsely shoved in our faces when the likes of BLM took over and dictated what would and would not be the racial discourse. Third, the nonsense known as critical race theory, a theory whose prime goal is to teach hate, also teaches folks who were never racists before how and why to become racist now. And reason number four sees demands for reparations by black folks who were never slaves be given to them by white folks who were never slave owners. Claiming this as a means by which white America can address the legacies of slavery, colonial rule, and racial discrimination. To that I say, slavery happened, blacks were free, and it's time to get over yourselves and move on to bigger, better, and more worthy matters. Like, Craig, take responsibility for your own actions and get yourselves off the government gravy train.
Well, that's a couple of pretty good places to start, but that's not all that certain black people in this country think they're owed. And I'm pretty sure when it comes to that, you've got a pretty good and strong and 100% correct opinion.
I sure do. And I say today, I most vehemently believe that black Americans are owed nothing, for our debt to you was paid in full with the over 360,000 Union lives lost in the quest to set your ancestors, not you who are alive today, your ancestors set them free. Let the United Nations and its rapporteurs think on all that for a while and then move on to monitoring countries who truly discriminate against minorities, countries who are overt human rights violators as well. China, North Korea, Iran, and Cuba quickly come to mind and should too for the UN. So while the Biden administration continues to claim that it is deeply, quote, dedicated to addressing racial injustice and inequalities at home and abroad, I say our beloved country would be better served by moving on from this Democrat and media-generated faux racist nonsense and address, let's say, what is a real crisis, as in the crisis at our southern border, and to that, the UN be damned.
Can't argue with any of that.
No.
I really can't, but I do have a third mockery for you.
Mm-hmm.
When we were in the break, I told you I had a fly in this office that was driving me crazy. Well, in the middle of this segment, that fly perched his little fly ass on my microphone and mocked me.
That's cute.
That little
bastard. I hope he went splat.
Well, no, I couldn't, you know, I wasn't going to smack him on my microphone in the middle of the segment when you're trying to get across some really great points.
Ah, okay.
That would have made a lot of noise, and I wasn't going to do that. But yeah, I'm telling you, he stuck his tongue out at me, and he gave me the finger.
Ah, well, that's basically what the Biden administration is doing to all of us.
It is.
Giving us the finger.
It really
is.
The
problem is, most people are sitting back and taking it.
That's well, I think about that a lot, and I can't for the life of me understand why so many people are so complacent. I can't understand what they're really scared of. Because, you know, I mean, well, if I stand up to this and I speak my mind, I might lose my job. Well, guess what? If you don't, you might lose everything else.
You know what a lot of them are afraid of? And it's really pathetic. If I speak up, I put something on Facebook or any of the other social media sites that they find as a no-no, I might be banned and thrown in Facebook jail. Well, let me tell you something, folks. I've been in Facebook jail, what is it, 47 or 48 times?
Yeah, I lose count.
They tried to shut me up for almost 2 years in a row. I won. I came back, and I didn't shut up.
Well, and this particular op-ed is proof of that because you took them on directly.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, this has gone too far, folks. Censorship is the beginning of a dictatorship. Taking away our guns, censorship, and there, you know, there's a couple of other things that go along with it. But this leads to the road to dictatorship. In our case, the dictator who wants to rule it all will go by the name of Obama. Because right. That's what all this is about, folks. You cannot forget that the man wants his third term in office. Constitutionally, he can't have it, but he can have it de facto, which he's doing through Biden and hopefully, you know, on his part through Kamala Harris, because he can, you know, really control her completely.
Well, he can manipulate. Yeah, he can completely manipulate her.
Yeah. So this mockery, this is Obama making a mockery. He succeeded in causing the racial divide in this country. the cherry on top was if I had a son comment, you know, that he looked like Trayvon Martin. That started the whole downhill slide. That's what gave the likes of BLM and the other vile black hate groups the ammunition they needed. They got Obama on their side. Have you ever heard of Obama saying anything bad about BLM?
Well, no. In fact, folks, if you go back to Ferguson, okay, and that was the whole Mike Brown deal, you go back to Ferguson, and shortly after Ferguson and the riots there, Obama had the BLM over to the White House and told them they were doing a great job.
Exactly. That makes me just want to vomit. This is the man who is really running the show. He's got his third term in office. And too many people are afraid to say it.
Well,
I'm not
afraid
to say it.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know what people are afraid of. Oh, if I speak up or if I take a stand, you know, I might lose my job or my kids might not be allowed to play in the Little League anymore, you know, and whatever the case might be. If you don't take a stand, if you don't stand up, speak up, and put your foot down, you're going to lose your freedom. You're going to lose your rights. All of them. All of them.
Exactly. It's not just... That's what they want. We're going to be in a... It'll start with socialism and work its way up to full-blown dictatorial communism.
You ever hear of the domino theory, folks?
Exactly.
I mean, it's starting right now.
The dominoes are falling. And if we don't turn it around in 2022, 2024, the Dominion fiasco is going to look like a walk in the park. Because now we have over a million new illegals in here.
We had
probably given their Democrat voting cards.
We had over 200,000 poured across the border just last month.
Exactly.
Or I'm sorry, this not last month, in the last week.
Yeah, this is a very serious situation, folks. People need to understand Biden is not ruling the roost here, nor is Kamala Harris. Obama is, and he's backed up with George Soros' money. It's my opinion. I know it's Craig's opinion as well, and I know there's many, many others that agree. But where are your voices? Where are the majority of black voices? Good, hardworking, decent black people. Why did you let BLM overtake your voices?
Again, they're afraid of things they shouldn't be afraid of.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're afraid of getting canceled. They're afraid of retribution against them if they speak out against, you know, this element of our society in this country. And it's crazy. It's crazy.
They're a minority element. They're a minority within a minority. They are outnumbered by good, decent, hardworking black folks. And yet they remain silent. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, there's no reason for it. People should take a stand and say enough is enough. Now, with that said, we are seeing more and more people. Not enough. We're nowhere near at that point where it's enough yet to really make a difference. We are seeing more and more people speaking out and taking a stand. But it's got to be a massive amount of people before it's going to make any difference.
Well, I'll tell you something else, guys. While we're all focused on the racism aspect and the critical race theory, into our Congress is coming more and more Muslims.
Oh, yeah.
You want to start hearing the call to prayer 3 times a day across the country?
Heads down, asses up.
You've got to think about that too, folks. That's sort of being ignored.
Well, everything's a distraction from something else. And what the liberal agenda is trying to do is overwhelm the overwhelming vast majority of Americans with so many distractions they don't know where to look next.
Why do you think they're so focused on COVID?
Well, yeah,
COVID is the main distraction its little tentacles have racism. It has the whole reparations thing. It has the critical race theory. But they're basing everything around COVID. Everything is COVID's fault. And we can't, you know, stop the rioting going on. We can't go into the cities and this and that because of COVID. This isn't the country that we grew up in.
No, not even close. Not even close.
No, and it's sad because it doesn't have to be this way. We need the majority of black voices to shut BLM and their likes up. We need good conservatives opening their mouths, not just, oh, we're praying and this and that. That doesn't cut it anymore, folks. Saying, oh, we're prayer warriors, God is on our side, and this is going to happen. Yeah? November 2020, where was God then, folks? It's time that we take responsibility for our actions, and our actions should be to return America.
Yeah, get off your knees and take a stand. Get off your knees and take a stand. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Exactly.
Folks, there's a lot of good information in this op-ed that Diana's put together, and you can get the link and share it if you go to any one of two places. You can go to thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, grab the link there. That's Diane's blog. Or you go to rspradio1.com and grab the link there. Either way, get the link, get it shared, get it out there. You know, this is one of those things. You know, Diane is so spot on when it comes to talking about the UN and these rapporteurs that are going to come over here and, you know, decide whether or not we're a systemically racist nation. You know, these people are steeped in systemic racism. These people are steeped in dictatorial regimes. I mean, this is what the UN has become. You know, Diane has her term for it. I call them the United Nations of thieves and despots.
Right, you know, I call them the useless nations.
Yeah, because, I mean, thugs, thieves, and despots, that's who's running the United Nations and has for decades. You know, I mean, it's really kind of simple when you get it right down to it. If we were a systemically racist nation, the way the liberal Marxists want you to believe that we are, why would there be people from other countries who are not primarily white countries? Yeah, some of them are Caucasians. I understand. You know, I mean, there's only four races on the planet, okay?
And there's 57 genders, though.
Yes, but only four races, you know? And a lot of people that the liberal Marxists want to tell you are a different race, really are Caucasians. Okay.
Exactly.
But they're different shades of Caucasians.
Different shades of white folks.
But why would they all be wanting to come to a systemically racist nation?
Well, Craig, that's kind of a redundant question. They come here for the free stuff.
Well, not all of them. I'm talking about people that are, you know, trying to get here the right way.
I'm talking
about legal immigrants, people that are trying to get here the right way, fill out the documents, do the paperwork, you know, the whole nine yards.
That's different.
You know, why would people be trying to get to the shores of the United States if we were truly a systemically racist nation?
Because we're not.
Exactly. You know, I mean, that's really what it boils down to. Okay, folks, so look, go to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or go to rspradio1.com, get the link to this particular op-ed, A Mockery Times Two, and share it everywhere you can. Let people know what's really going on. Shine the light of truth on it. And, by the way, stand up and say something. You know, don't just hope somebody else
afraid,
does it for
guys.
You. Yeah.
We're you not know? A nation of cowards. We were never a nation of cowards. Please don't let us become a nation of cowards.
Pretty simple.
There's strength in numbers.
There it is. So let's have at it. Folks, we got one segment left on the show tonight. We're going to take a quick break, get a couple of station ideas, and then when we come back, I'm talking about purveyors of lies are not guardians of truth. So stay with us. More Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from the Patriot Factor on the patriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. Getting you through a Tuesday night edition of the show, 27th of July. And if you miss any part of it, you can just go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and there we are.
Yes.
Pretty simple, pretty easy. And by the way, folks, you can share those podcast links, too. We'd appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I decided I was going to take on purveyors of lies are not guardians of truth. And in this commentary, I intend to present a case so profound, so rife with evidence, and so airtight that it cannot be refuted with a straight face. All that is necessary to win this case is proof beyond a reasonable doubt. But I intend to prove this case beyond all doubt. You, the jury, have borne witness to all that has transpired over the past several years, and what follows is actually my closing argument. Over the past several years, liberal Marxists have been telling us all of things that seem to be fairly questionable. So let me just see if I have this all straight. They have told us that we had to wear masks to protect us when it turns out that wearing masks do more harm than good. Liberal Marxists told us that we had to lock ourselves down in order not to spread the coronavirus, but it spread anyway. They told us that hydroxychloroquine was not effective against the virus and that it was dangerous. It actually is effective, and it is not dangerous. Liberal Marxists told us that ivermectin was ineffective against the COVID and that it too was dangerous. It is effective, and it's not dangerous. They told us that we couldn't go to hair salons or restaurants because of, you know, COVID. But then elected liberal Marxists were spotted in hair salons and restaurants. Diane, we knew that old people were vulnerable to the virus and needed to be isolated, but in New York, their liberal Marxist governor sent people with COVID into nursing homes, thus killing old people.
Yeah. Actually letting them die from a virus that they didn't have to die from because, you know, he, as in Andrew Cuomo, didn't use a certain gift from President Trump, let's say.
Well, you're right. And that gift was actually two gifts, two mm-hmm. hospital ships that were parked in New York's harbor. And Cuomo didn't want anything to do with them. Those ships sat there pretty much empty. First, mm-hmm. liberal Marxists hated the vaccine because it came about under President Trump. But now they love the vaccine and say we all have to get jabbed. Turns out the people are getting sick and some are actually dying from the vaccine. And others are getting COVID even after they've been jabbed. First, it was masks. Then, it was no masks. Then it was double masks. After that, it was masks indoors and outdoors, then just outdoors, and now it's back to indoor masks again. Everybody has to mask up on airplanes, except for liberal Marxists from Texas who are running away from doing their jobs. I know there's plenty more liberal Marxist nonsense regarding COVID. I do, but I think you get the point. And there's also plenty more nonsense that I need to cover. So, liberal Marxists say that a cop murdered George Floyd, but that's not at all what the autopsy report said happened to him. Liberal Marxists made a hero and a saint out of George Floyd, even though he was nothing but a drug-addicted violent criminal with a rap sheet longer than his arm. Liberal Marxists told us that the riots that followed the death of St. George Floyd were protests and that those protests were mostly peaceful, but we could all see that the rioters were looting businesses and burning them to the ground in every major blue city you care to mention. Liberal Marxist members of the mainstream media stood in front of burning buildings and told us that the protests were not unruly. Diane, in the wake of the riots, the looting, the arson from coast to coast, liberal Marxists went on the record and on video calling for the defunding of police departments. And they did cut funding to their Blue City police departments.
Yeah, but there's a little picadillo in their little, basically, arguments. Because, you know, we all know that the Democrats, the liberals, were the ones to cut the funding. But who really are the liberals blaming and saying that, no, we didn't cut the funding, somebody else did?
Well, first of all, let me just say that picadillo is a word that doesn't get used often enough. Okay? And maybe that's a good word to use in a Scrabble game. For instance.
Could be.
I'm just saying. You're right, Diane. Look, liberal Marxists have been blaming conservatives for calling for the defunding of police. We know that's not true. As a result of liberal Marxists defunding their own police departments, crime, and especially violent crime in those blue cities, has been skyrocketing. They don't have enough police resources left to keep people safe. Now, they're blaming that on conservatives, too. So, allow me to get back to the whole rioting versus protesting thing for just a moment. Liberal Marxists told us that the riots in the Summer of Love were mostly peaceful protests, but they also told us that the mostly peaceful protest at the nation's capital on January 6th was a violent and deadly insurrection. The only person actually killed in that so-called violent, deadly insurrection was Ashley Babbitt, an unarmed Air Force veteran who was shot and killed by a Capitol Police officer who they refused to name and who will face no charges, unlike Derek Chauvin, who was named and sent to prison over George Floyd, who actually died of a drug overdose. The liberal Marxists insist to this day that President Trump directly called for the so-called violent and deadly insurrection on January 6th, but the video of the speech Trump gave that day proves that he never said what they insist he did, and in fact, the video shows that he clearly called for a peaceful protest. Nearly all of the rioters who burned and looted businesses in blue cities for the better part of a year, those who were seen on video doing their dirty and unlawful deeds and were arrested for them, well, they got turned loose without charges. But those arrested for hurting nobody at the Capitol on January 6th are doing federal prison time. But wait, there's more. I'm not done scratching the surface of liberal Marxist nonsense over the past several years. And there is a reason for this litany of malfeasance, which I'll get to shortly. Liberal Marxists impeached President Trump for what they claimed was quid pro quo with Ukraine. But it was actually Joe Biden, when he was the vice president, who did that, and there's video evidence of him bragging about doing it. Before that, Diane, they impeached President Trump because they insisted he colluded with the Russians. In that impeachment, they had a dossier that they say proved Trump colluded with the Russians. They even produced a parade of witnesses they claimed were privy to the supposed collusion with Russia, but in their testimony, not a single so-called witness to that collusion could testify to having witnessed anything. And the dossier was quickly proven to be a manufactured fraud, bought and paid for by Hillary Clinton and Obama's FBI goons.
Well, now we have, you know, the situation at the southern border, which they've lied to us about as well. And they've made claims about that, especially specific claims that just aren't true.
I'm assuming you're talking about the fact they claim it's all Trump's fault.
Correct.
It's not. Clearly, it's not. Liberal Marxists have also told us in no uncertain terms that there was no election fraud in 2020, but clearly there was, as audits of that election in Maricopa County, Arizona, and Fulton County, Georgia, are finding thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of examples of voter fraud. Liberal Marxists who insist there is absolutely no way to go door-to-door looking for illegal aliens now claim they intend to go door-to-door looking for unvaccinated people, and while they claim there is no way to remove illegal aliens, they sure have found a way to disperse them throughout America on chartered airplanes. What we're talking about here are liberal Marxists who claim that all white people are racist based solely on the color of their skin, and that all black people are oppressed based solely on the color of their skin. That black lives matter, but anyone who dares to claim that all lives matter is just a damned racist. We're talking about liberal Marxists who have thrown open the gates at the border to allow a tsunami of illegal aliens of epic proportions into our country, but have vowed to reject every single Cuban trying to attain freedom from tyranny from trying to reach the shores of liberty. We're talking about liberal Marxists here who believe there are 57 different genders, that boys and men who dress up as women are actually women, that men can have menstrual cycles and get pregnant, and should be allowed to compete as women in sports. We're talking about people who truly believe that Michelle Obama and Bruce Jenner are women. Joe Biden has recently told us that the Second Amendment puts limits on who can own a gun and what sort of guns can be owned by the people. That amendment reads, and I quote, "A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." Clearly, the Second Amendment has no limits on who can or can't own a gun, or what sort of gun people can own, and clearly, Joe Biden is full of crap. All right. I said there was a reason for this laundry list of liberal Marxist nonsense, and yes, I know full well that I have barely scratched the surface, as there are enough items that I could have added to this list to fill a library. But believe me, what I have presented here is ample evidence for you to make a well-informed judicial decision. These are the very people and the very party that now claims that they should be the arbiters of what is and is not quote-unquote misinformation regarding what gets posted to social media by we the people. They believe that they are the best source of information to be disseminated to the people, and that they, and they alone, are the purveyors of truth. In fact, liberals are the purveyor of lies, not the guardians of truth. I mean, for the love of God, we're talking about liberal Marxists here. This bunch of buffoons can't even figure out which bathroom to use. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we await your decision in November of 2022, and with that, I rest my case.
Well, you make a good case, and as long as we don't have machines changing ballots, maybe it will go in our favor, but I have a sneaky suspicion we're going to have big problems again.
I think the potential is there, but I'll tell you what, in a couple of weeks, along with some other things regarding Biden and his dementia issues, I'm going to tackle what I think might happen in 2022.
Okay.
All right? And I mean, look, it's open season. We all know that. Okay? They got away with it in 2020. Okay? So, you know. But I'll tell you, I might have a little bit of a different take on it than you do, although I fully agree the potential for more malfeasance exists.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, even if they don't use Dominion voting machines, whatever voting machines are used, they would have, you know, tampered with them. That's just the way it is. The Democrats are going to fight tooth and nail to keep power. And I don't care how many of our side shows up, there is going to be monkey business with the numbers again.
Hey, like I say, the potential for that definitely exists.
And the funny thing is, the Constitution says there is one day, you know, election day.
Right.
We pick the election day, we pick the first Tuesday in November, whatever. But it says one day. Where the hell did this absentee ballot and this early voting and all this nonsense come from? If you can't give up one day to vote for something as important as president and your representatives, maybe you shouldn't be living here.
You know, that's a good point. That really is a good point. You know, before I've got a great thing to bring up here regarding kind of what you were just talking about. Before I do that, though, let me just tell people where they can get this commentary. Two places, thenationalpatriot.com, that's my blog, or rspradio1.com. Either place, you can get the link to this particular commentary, Terry, and share it everywhere. All right, so you're talking about voter malfeasance, which is voter fraud, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you what I found out today. You and I haven't even told you about this because I kind of forgot about it until you just said what you said. In Illinois, it's a great state. It's very blue. In Illinois, you can get what is called a husband and wife combination fishing license. Okay? This is something they've had for a long time, but now they have new rules for this. Now, what does this have to do with voting rights? I'm getting there. The Department of Natural Resources in the fine blue state of Illinois is now requiring both the husband and the wife to be present, and both have to show their ID to get this particular husband-wife combination fishing license. This, they say, is to prevent fraud. So, to them, those blue idiots in Illinois, to them, they are more worried about phishing fraud than they are about voter fraud because they don't think you should have to have an ID to vote. They don't think you should even have to show up in person to vote. But if you and your spouse want to get a combination phishing license, you both have to show up and you both have to prove that you are who you say you are so that they don't have phishing fraud in Illinois.
Oh, dear.
Now, it sounds like this something is, I'm making up, but I'm not.
This is just, it's getting too much. It's getting too much already, all of this nonsense. It really is. Anytime a vote is not done on election day, that's fraud. The Constitution clearly states one day. Now, I can see absentee ballots for people that are shut-ins, veterans overseas, people in hospitals. There's always going to be exceptions. But this nonsense of voting weeks and months before, having it go after Election Day, this is all in violation of the Constitution. Where the hell is the outrage?
Well, and I don't want to hear anything from these liberal Marxists who say, well, you know, the voting is done by states, and they're you know, you conservative people are against having nationalized elections, so you should just shut the hell up. Well, let me tell you something. This has nothing to do with the states, what Diane's talking about. This has to do with the United States Constitution, okay?
Correct.
So, let's say you live in a blue state, and I live in a red state. And my red state is going to have their election on the first Tuesday of November, okay?
Right.
Your blue state is free to choose a different day.
Right.
If you want to, you could have it on the third Wednesday of October, if you wanted to. Okay.
Uh-huh.
But according to the U.S. Constitution, which does not constitute a federal voting law, but it is constitutional that one day is chosen for the election.
One day, yes.
Now, you know, they chose the first Tuesday in November just so that everybody would vote on the same day, and it'd make tallying up the vote a lot easier. But, you know, look, you can have a different day if you choose. You can have different hours for your voting if you choose. As your own individual state, whatever state you might happen to live in, folks, you can actually give people the day off to go vote.
Exactly.
You can declare it a state holiday, and people don't have to worry about rushing from work to a polling place.
Or do it on a weekend, a Saturday or a Sunday.
Yeah, but you know, the Constitution is not a nationalized election. It is simply pick a day and vote.
Correct.
Not pick a month. Not pick 2 months. Pick a day. Vote.
One day.
It's really not that tough. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, up until just a few years ago, everybody went and voted on the first Tuesday in November, and that was that.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, it's a horrible imposition.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
It's nonsense. It's total... total nonsense. They're in violation of the Constitution, and everybody's sitting back and not saying a word about it. This is ridiculous. The only people that should have absentee ballots are the infirm, the shut-in, and of course, our veterans. That's it. Nobody else needs an absentee ballot. There should be no voting by mail, unless you're in a hospital, you're infirm, or you're in our military. They should not be sending out ballots like they do. Two, three, four ballots going to the same person in a household. This is nonsense.
You know,
total nonsense. And we should never have this early voting nonsense. That's really a crime as far as I'm concerned. If you can't give up one day to do your civic duty, then we don't need your vote. You're not worthy of the vote.
You know, last week when we were talking about some of this stuff, you know, I can't remember, honestly, folks, whether it was in Fulton County in Georgia or Maricopa County in Arizona, but one of those places, they found that 25 ballots were mailed to the same person. 25 ballots.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one that they caught. How many other people got 25 ballots and filled out all 25?
And they didn't catch them. Exactly. Yeah. This is absolutely criminal, what's going on here. It is an invitation to fraud.
A total invitation.
First of all, illegals should not be voting. They're not citizens. If you read the Constitution, it talks about citizens voting, not illegals voting. But where is the outrage?
There is none. There is none, but there I can tell you, if all those illegal aliens were voting Republican, the Democrats would be fit to be tied.
Exactly.
Right now, and if you doubt my words, okay, I talked about it in this commentary. If you doubt my words, then you figure out why the illegal aliens coming over the southern border are A-OK and the Cubans trying to get here for freedom aren't.
I said it the day it happened. The reason they don't want the Cubans is the Cubans vote Republican.
At least 65% of Cuban refugees that live in this country and have become U.S. citizens vote Republican. It could actually be closer to 70%.
It's actually higher, but that's not the point. The point is Cubans, for the most part, will vote Republican. They've lived through the hell of socialism.
They don't want any more of it.
How bad it is. They're not going to come here, risk their lives on the boats, you know, whatever, and then vote for the same crap they left behind. That's not in their makeup.
No.
But this scuzz that's coming through now, and not everybody is scuzz, of course, but a good majority. You see, young men, why don't they stay home and fight for their own country?
It's easier to
make changes in their own country. Because they got their hands out, their hands will get greased by the Democrats, and all you have to do is vote for us. You're not a citizen. You shouldn't be voting.
Well, you know, last week, I talked about, you know, people coming over the southern border have their hands out. People from Cuba are coming over here with their hopes up. That's the difference.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
It is what it is, right? And it's transparent. You know, I mean, I don't know who the liberal Marxists think they're fooling, but the idiocy is transparent. The commentary from me today is literally about not so much about voting rights, but the long laundry list of things that Democrats tell you one thing and do another. They tell you one thing when the opposite is true, and yet they are now claiming to be the arbiters of what is and is not misinformation? Really?
Yeah, it's a joke. It's a total joke. And like I said, this is not the country we grew up in. This is not the America we know. This is a nightmare we're living through now.
It's not the America I want to live in, I can tell you that.
No. You know, it's you know, everybody talks about, oh, we'll have a second American Revolution and we won't allow this to go on. Really? You won't allow it to go on? You are allowing it to go on. So few people have the guts to speak out.
It's true. Sad, but true. Folks, there's two articles you need the links to tonight. Okay. Diane's op-ed, A Mockery Times Two, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, my commentary, Purveyors of Lies Are Not the Guardians of Truth. You can get that at thenationalpatriot.com or save yourself a step. Go to rspradio1.com. Both links are right there on the home page.
Right.
Doesn't really get much easier than that.
Right.
All right. So Friday night coming up, talk show, 1 hour version. We're in the summer hours, folks. You know, and Plus, let's face it, it's hot and it's humid here in Nebraska, and on Fridays about 1 hour is all I can stand. The only good thing I can say about the heat and humidity here, 5 minutes outside takes the wrinkles out of old people. That's about all I can say for it. But with that, Diane, I think you and I have just about wrapped up this particular show.
Yes. Yes. And with that, nighty-night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you right here come Friday. Bye-bye.